Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. My goodness, so many things are taking place, so many things to say, but we need to be able to figure out what matters most to be able to share with you this morning. But the biggest thing I want to tell you, we're like 14, 13 days away, right, from choosing our next leader who will decide on what's going to happen to Israel and how we're going to stand or not stand with Israel. Mm-hmm. The one big thing that the Lord was speaking to me about, that America does something or doesn't do something that exasperates Israel, that brings them to the point of having to make this decision that they don't want to make. Mm-hmm. It was, I saw it. I literally saw it, what they're going to do, what they're going to have to do to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned in law enforcement that it wasn't the big guys. It wasn't the big guys that you had to worry about. It was the small guys.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Because the small guy knows, I got to hit fast, I got to hit hard, mm-hmm. and I can't stop until because if they don't,
they're dead. Right.
They're dead.
That's right.
That's just a typical. Yeah, and that's a standard understanding in law enforcement, that if you don't keep an eye on that small guy, because he knows or she knows that they've got to win. Mm-hmm. They got to mm-hmm. strike first, they got to strike hard, and they got to strike as long as it takes to
make sure that person goes down and doesn't get back up.
Yeah, some of our stuff was talking to us. Yeah, that it gets down, and I understand that. I mean, if you're big and you say, well, I don't understand that, it's, you've never been small. But if you're small, you gotta, everybody that they see, they look up to when they talk. I mean, some people just have such a big personality, you're thinking that they're as big as you. But when you take a picture standing beside John, I mean, no, speaking of that, I want to see those pictures, man. We're going to put them up on VFNTV.com on our photo shoot that we had on the island. You know, we want everybody to see those shots.
Yeah, where are those pictures?
Well, in other words, John made the mound of sand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
And stood on it. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, you already got high heels on. What else do you want? You got lifts on already.
Get those things together. Listen, high heels and platforms are two separate things. Don't get them confused.
Right. The whole thing was a hill, I guess. One big hill underneath the shoe. The platforms. That's what the word is, platforms. I remember those from the 60s or 70s.
Do you have a pair?
I probably would have. Lord, I can imagine now walking on that. That would be tough.
Yeah, right.
But the, no, seriously, that they have to. If they want to survive, they're going to have to hit. And they're going to have to hit hard, hit fast, and they can't wait to talk things over. I mean, because if they don't win the discussion, they know they lose. Mm-hmm. And so Israel's very small. I mean, it's so small, many people probably never even looked for it on the map, because it's all mm-hmm. swallowed up by Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, mm-hmm. Egypt, Libya. But if you name all these nations that you're hearing right now in the news, in the middle of all that is Israel.
Yeah.
And at its widest point, you're looking at around 60 miles at its widest point. Mm-hmm. You can drive from Jerusalem to the northern border in 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And faster than that, too, when you're being shot at. we were there and had this particular lady that was driving up through Bethlehem, and somebody fired a shot right through the metal rim of her tire. Hmm. Not the rubber part, but the metal part.
Hubcap.
So you never know. No, not hubcap.
The rim.
The wheel.
The wheel.
The wheel. Yeah, I know. I didn't know it either. The tire is not the wheel, but the wheel is the wheel, and the tire is the wheel. The future story. And the rubber thing is called the tire, and the metal thing that's round is called the wheel.
That's right.
Isn't that wild? Mm. Mm, look at that. He's taking notes. Mm-hmm. Me neither. Put that with the toenails. Yeah. and so Israel, what I saw, though, with Israel, what God showed me briefly was America is going to do something or not do something. We could see it in the natural sense, but he confirmed to me that it's going to exasperate this whole thing, which is happening. And understanding that is this, that in 13 days, church, and this course, that's what VFN Radio is. We're talking to believers. We're talking hopefully to people that have gone astray, that God's encouraging to come back. Those are being drawn to the Lord. We're not talking to the world, but this is for the church. it's, we're not talking about the buildings either. We're talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That in 13 days, if in 13 days, you're either going to, there's a value vote going on. And the question is, are we going to vote God's values? If you don't know this or not, let me tell you one of God's big, big, huge values. If you had to prioritize your values, you know, mm-hmm. you know, what would be number one priority or number one value, number two value, number three value? Well, Jesus is a number one value for God.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, Israel, mm-hmm. Israel is a peak value to him.
Mm-hmm.
So we are values voters. We vote mm-hmm. our values. We don't vote for people. Listen, people will fail you. People will, no political parties right now worth, you know, shaking a stick at. They're all embarrassing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And as John Paul Jackson said, and you can find this on the VFN Torch, well, God showed him some headlines, prophetic headlines, and he said this. And you can be different than this if you are in politics, but you, this is what God's saying about our politicians, that trustworthiness, I'm using different semantics probably, but it says the same thing. Honesty and politicians will not even go together. People don't even think about those two in the same sentence,
mm-hmm.
which means a lying spirit's poured out on the land. I mean, you don't have to lie, but you'll find out if you want to hang with liars, you're going to either have to agree with their lie, you have to be silent and allow their lie to ride, which is you being in agreement with them through your omission, or you got to tell the truth and you don't have to worry about hanging around with them anymore because they will kick you out. So we have a value vote coming up. November the 6th, we have a value vote. We need to vote what's valuable to God, and you need to find out how the candidates stand in regards to Israel. How they stand. Listen, I don't care what people are telling you about our economy and our stock market, what they're telling you about our security and homeland security, what they're telling you about your jobs and what they're telling you about anything. Right. Understand that if we don't get it right with Israel, it don't matter. It doesn't matter what we think we're going to get right.
Mm-hmm.
We can't skip God's high priority of Israel, mm-hmm. his high value. And say, oh, they'll work it out. It's like, yeah, I mean, we will live or fall, stand or fall based on how we're going to respond to them. And so it seems to be a really clear decision in regards to that. And you need to go and find these different values. What do you call those things that people are handing out that has, you know, like how people stand on issues?
A voter's guide.
A voter's guide. And look at all the people that you're going to have a select from and find out how they stand on Israel. Find out mm-hmm. how they stand and find out, you know, talk to people who love God and who stays informed, not the people that are watching reality television and all they talk about is their team just made four more yards and they don't ever they're not talking about God.
Right.
But the ones that are talking about God, not the freaky weird ones, but the ones that, mm-hmm. you know, love you and love God and they're willing to let go of everything. And find out, you know, ask them about where do these men and women stand towards Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I think about Michelle Bachmann, you know, that she's just a bold supporter of Israel.
Yeah.
And a lot of our Congress, from what I understand, that they really want Israel to know we stand with them.
Mm-hmm.
Benjamin Netanyahu said that they know that the church stands with them. They don't know if anybody else stands with them. The Christians right. stand with them.
Wasn't the last time that the prime minister came and spoke before Congress? There was like, I believe, over 30 standing ovations. There's a congressman, his first name is Louie, I forget his second name now, out of Texas, who seems to be very, very supportive of Israel. In fact, he actually apologized to Benjamin Netanyahu when he was out visiting in Israel himself, mm-hmm. just for America putting Israel in that type of position. And I think about the former ambassador who says, and I'm paraphrasing, when he says that Israel is at the point that they'd rather be judged by the world for what they've done than rather to be consoled by the world.
And that is, you know, if you haven't seen JJ yet, go to the VFN Torch and type in JJ. Go to your app on your mobile device, your phone or whatever, and for VFN TV app, and just mm-hmm. go to the, there's one choice you have, A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
You can go click on A to Z, which lines everything up and all the highlights from A to Z, and just look for JJ. This is called JJ, the Jews and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that when you say Jesus, we're talking about the church. mm-hmm. and how you see the animosity towards Israel, understand, towards the Jews, understand mm-hmm. that's how Satan feels about you if you're a that's Christian. Right. That's how he feels about you.
All right.
And they would want to do the same thing they want to do to the Jews, they want to do to the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are, you know, this is what Satan would want to do. And so you can pretty much think about, if you want to find out, you know, you go, I wonder what somebody thinks of me. I wonder, I'm really concerned about my people's opinion of me. Well, as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Well, skip all the liars and the people that are trying to make you comfortable and telling you what you want to hear and the flatterers. You know, go all the way to Israel and look and see exactly how Satan feels about God's people.
Mm.
And understand this too, that God, this is how he feels, Satan feels this way about mankind in general. He will use people up and just destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
But those that have made a decision to follow God and made Jesus the Lord of their life, and those that are Jews, mm-hmm. that the adversary is all outright, I got to destroy these before they tell anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, right. I've got to take them out. And you can find that out. Go to JJ, which stands for Jews and Jesus. When everything's said and done, when you're talking to people, you know, end with one more thing. I got to talk to you about JJ.
Yeah, it's real important.
Because they'll tell you, Satan's going to give nations and people whatever they want, as long as they can fool you to think about, hey, don't worry about it, no big deal. But they end every conversation with, who is Jesus to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think about the church? And what do you think about Israel? And I think about this. I just heard allegedly reported that Bill Clinton, former President Bill Clinton's former campaign manager or one of his staffs, now has gone to Israel and is working with the opposition party to run against Benjamin Netanyahu.
Really?
Wow.
Let me speak prophetically to you right now. This is saying, let me tell you your future. Let me tell you your future. That this crew right now is held captive by Satan. And there's a strategy going on, and this is the problem. There are two issues and two problems that's stopping their goal. If they can just eliminate these two thorns in their flesh and in their vision and their plan for the world, then they can just go right on through with it.
Yeah.
And so they got to eliminate it first, because you can't. This particular thing gets in their way and it stops them, and they know they have to somehow repress or kill or destroy or put in their leaders over that problem, so that they can actually control it, and we get past this thing called the Jews
mm-hmm.
and the Christian conservative in America
mm-hmm.
and this United States Constitution, because it's stopping us from taking over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And you can't, this is, if you go and listen to the news, you go to DW or in different sources of the news, they openly talk about all these things, George Soros, and we need a new world order, you know, where there's no walls and it just needs to be one economy. We need to ease this down and we need the workers of the world unite. But they don't tell that to Americans, because mm-hmm. they tell it to Americans, they'll stir up Christian conservatives, who will start saying, no, 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 we don't, we're not into one world economy. We don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. most don't.
Right.
And they know that they'll be cantankerous, and we'll be cantankerous. We'll say, listen, we'll fight to the end in regards to saying, we can't just take this mark. Sorry, George. We're not going to we're not going to click through. We're going to read the small print, you know, and Christian conservatives, they read the small print. They realize, I love God and I cannot buy into this, even if it means I lose.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can't, but they know that. So they say, listen, we will take control of the media.
Mm.
We'll take control of the media and, we will begin to tell them what we want them to, and we'll hold back what they can't, because we can't stir up these, and we got to actually make them look adversarial. We got to make them look like they're the issue. They're the problem. That's exactly what Hitler did with mm. the Jews. And that's exactly what they're doing now with the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta, every time you say it, they say a cuss word in regards to just cursed something, it's like, you Puritans, you know, you Christians, mm. you conservatives,
mm.
you know, I can't believe you're doing, and it's like, and they're changing mindsets about, you know, people's mindsets about Christians and Jews. And if these Christians was to just give up and realize God's changed and they act like they're the only ones that know God, and listen, Miriam, hush up, you're gonna hurt yourself. And and understand that they're not telling us what they're telling the world, and they're working strategically to be able to do this. And you say, I mean, think about this, John. I want you to find out while I'm talking how much money is being spent on these campaigns, these two presidential campaigns that's been gotten in so far. Find out what the dollar figure is on that. But and so they got to control what we're thinking because they got to change the perspective. They got to be able to repress us or hold us back or at least make the world feel like we're their fault. And that's the goal of the enemy, is to divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. And with that, they've done a pretty good job of controlling the media and what's going on. And that's why you have VFN TV and VFN Radio, because we want to tell you it ain't like that. Mm-hmm. It's crazy what's going on. I'm almost in tears when I heard a particular man speak the other day. I'm like, oh, there's people that really hear from God. And it was so naturally normal. But I think, I don't know what the rough figure, what's the rough figure, John, that they're spending on?
I don't know as of yet, but you figure, you know, the last presidential campaign, I believe Obama spent close to $1 billion himself. So they're looking to way exceed that. And this campaign election, they've been running neck and neck in terms of raising funds. So it wouldn't be surprising me if it's at least $2 billion, but I'm working on getting figures for you that are more accurate.
Well, yeah. So you're looking at, and the question, the thing is that where does this money go? Where does it actually go? Why would the media buy in to such a dilemma? I mean, because they're just busy. It's a, by the way, the talking head is not anything. Mm-hmm. It's people behind the talking head and the people that are typing in the monitors what they're supposed to read, teleprompters. Mm-hmm. They talk about a teleprompter president. It's like, hello, we have talking head teleprompters everywhere.
Speaking about that, MSNBC, I saw an article about allegedly Mika. I don't know Mika's
right
last name,
or Joe.
Right. And there was a recent not so recent, but it happened not too long ago, where on the teleprompter there was a big fuss because they were telling her what to read on the headlines, and they were kept pressing news to share about Paris Hilton and what happened on this, and she's refusing to want to read this news thing. So this is a major thing. She takes it and on air starts ripping it. This is a news organization. We're not going to talk right. about this.
They booed a 9-year-old in Boca Raton.
Exactly.
Please.
So I'm thinking, but just to underscore your point, they're being fed exactly what to say.
I do want to say that she was this particular journalist you're talking about was so proud of her, because her heart melted when they saw these grown folk boo this 9-year-old girl who just expressed who she wanted to was going to be supporting in the candidate. And she held her up against her chest and she covered her other ear, and she's just comforting her like a mother would that broke her child. Joe Scarborough leaned down to her and said, because she was talking about voting for a particular candidate, and he goes, good job. And he's telling people, I can't believe you booed a 9-year-old.
Wow.
And the grown folk were just openly going, what's the big deal? I'm like, you're, wow. I mean, you're 60 years old, sir. You're 60 years old. Do you think you have to boo a 9-year-old to be able to, you know, just go out and support your candidate? Don't hurt these. Oh my goodness. Anyway, so you think about $1 billion, you know, estimated, you know, $1 billion. That's going to MSNBC. It's going to CBS. It's going to ABC. They're buying television commercials. Mm-hmm. So this is a business transaction. If you stir things up, if you tick off the conservative base in America, and you do it just enough to cause it look like they're going to lose, mm-hmm. and then you tick off the liberal base like they're going to lose, and so you have to understand, Murdoch owns both sides of this equation. You know, he doesn't own his own Fox News, but he owns the liberal as well, outside of it. And so he's making money on both ends.
Wow.
And so you have all, it's just great. So here we'll give hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Listen, your candidate does not go home with that money. That money goes to your local television station. It goes to CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News. And so this is like a bonanza.
Yeah.
It's a bonanza for all this media. So you ask the question, why in the world would they be so ignorant? Why would they openly just buy into a lie? Because it upset you, sir, and it caused you to send $50 towards a campaign.
Exactly.
And that went to their pocket. They knew if they would tick you off, if they would tick you off enough, you would pull your checkbook out and you would send money to a candidate. They didn't care who it was because they're going to buy time on their television station and that money's going to go in their pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wow.
I've got final numbers for you. It looks like as of September, the president had raised close to $834 million and Mitt Romney has raised close to $770 million. Most of that money's spent already. Cash on hand as of September, the president only has $157 million left out of that $800 million that was raised, and Romney has about $200 million left cash on hand out of that $700 million raised.
Understands $1.5 billion went into Chris Matthews' boss's pocket. It went into Fox News's pockets. Rupert Murdoch's pocket. Rupert. Or it went into ABC's pocket. It went in. It goes into these guys' pockets. That's where the money goes. Mm-hmm. And so if they get you into a fray and get you all upset and stuff, I'm going to write me a check. I'm going to support. It's like, hello, that's where all the money's going. I'm going to talk to you. We're going to come back in just a moment. I'm going to share something with you that's going to blow your mind. Because remember, it's JJ. It's the Jews and Jesus. Why everybody's thinking like this, and they're thinking it's not a big deal. But the truth is that the United Nations is sending monitors to come monitor our elections to make sure the conservatives shut up and say nothing so they can get their way. We'll be right back in a moment. Joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about what's taking place in Israel and how important it is that Israel is a value of God's, and it should be our value if God's valuable to us. We're values voters. We're concerned about mm-hmm. it. And so when you think about it, that it's reported allegedly that a former campaign aide for President Bill Clinton now is working with the opposition to the prime minister of Israel, Netanyahu, to defeat him. And listen, I'm telling you, you know, as I was saying right before the break, is that there's a whole strategy going on, and the church is, really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that one election is going to resolve this world conflict that's happening and preparing? That our very Secretary of State, her husband's working with opposition to take out the leader of Israel? You know, allegedly that he's working with the opposition party, so that Benjamin Netanyahu, who's standing up for Israel and standing mm-hmm. against Iran and standing up for their safety. And really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are in a place right now that, and the things that the Lord has shown us, and you have it, you got to go to VFN TV. You got to go to VFN TV and begin to watch the prophetic teachings and understand, ask this, this question's asked. Is America under God's judgment? You need to ask the question. You know, we're not being all weird and stuff and saying, oh, you know, we're just presenting the evidence, letting you look at the word and see what's going on and let you answer the question. But the things that are going on right now, and based on what's going to happen in about 13 days or, you know, ever when you're listening to this, that America's about to make a decision.
That's right.
And the church, as the church, we have a value. We're values voters. We vote for people who have our values. Everybody does that. But as a church, what's valuable to God is valuable to us.
That's right.
People say, well, why do you want the Ten Commandments there? Because you're perfect? No, because we want to make God's values our priorities. Mm-hmm. We believe that a society that makes God's values their priorities will be blessed by God. Obviously, mm-hmm. I mean, every Christian you've ever seen, you know that nobody's perfect. Everybody mm-hmm. makes mistakes. We've all failed, and we all fall and come short of the glory of God. But God tells us that because we have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we can repent for our sin, and He forgives us. That our Secretary of State's husband is his former campaign manager, allegedly, and hopefully we'll find out the exact article on this, is working with the opposition of the prime minister, who is days away from doing what I was talking about, where God showed me prophetically that that America's going to do or not do something that exasperates this issue and causes Israel to be able to act. It's like, can you imagine being Israel right now and being the prime minister? Like, your Secretary of State's husband is running an opposition party against us, and you're supporting this Muslim Brotherhood around us, mm-hmm. whose ultimate goal in radical Islam is to eradicate us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're letting them infiltrate your own government, according to Michelle Bachmann, you know, allegedly that She's saying that the Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated our own government, that they've entered in and sat with our president in dinners and in the I was just like, oh my goodness, hello, church. Think about Gideon. Gideon was a man who wasn't thinking about doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually hiding and eking out a living in a wine press. Just kind of, he's hiding because he's, every time he would do something and everybody would do something, God's people would do something, this whole spirit of strife, or, you know, Midianites, they would come in. If you look at the word Midianite, that means strife. This whole contention mm-hmm. would come in, and it mm-hmm. would just take anything you had in your savings account, anything that you had, any positive growth, and so he had to hide to be able to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And in this place where everybody was hiding out and God's people felt just broken, which I believe that we're possibly just going to have to go there because we haven't got there yet, to so that we would begin to look up and look to God.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it takes, you know, we want as many as possible to be saved and to know him. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the Lord shows up and he sees this man he cannot live in, you know, hiding, terrified. And he says, you know, mighty man of valor. This angel says this mm-hmm. to Gideon. And Gideon starts looking over his shoulder going like, what?
All right.
You know, what you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, what you talking about, Willis? And so, you know, with that, a long story short, God chose Gideon, who was the weakest and the least likely, to be able to begin to do something that he could show himself mighty in the midst of when all of God's people are terrified,
mm-hmm.
that are hiding in caves and just trying to eke out a living in the midst of this mm-hmm. one, this great oppression in the land. And listen, there's going to be more people against God than for God. Sad to say. That's what it's going to be. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. What does that mean? The crowd, it doesn't necessarily mean it's for God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's for a good song and a good beat and a good, you know, come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, hair done the right way with a hair product. I mean, everybody wants to look at the hair. You know, but when it boils down to it, I say you're for the hair, but are you for Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand that 19% are the only ones, you know, reading the word according to George Barna, the Bible. But if you read it, you know, some things that we're just openly doing and broadcasting, he says plainly, you know, that we shouldn't be doing that. It doesn't mm-hmm. please him.
Right.
And so all these things taking place with radical Islam, not only radical Islam, but also with Israel under attack and they're after God's people, which is JJ we talked about, you know, the first hour, mm-hmm. you know, the Jews and Jesus. And you think about it, oh my goodness. And I think about Mike Bickle's ministry out of Kansas City, Missouri, where they have the International House of Prayer, right. And in that they have 24/7 prophetic worship, mm-hmm. Word worship and all that. And you think about Gideon's army and all these things going on. And I heard on, I think it was October the 23rd, something I want to share with you, October 23rd, where Missy Edwards, she's leading. If you haven't, you need to hook up to IHOP and support them mm-hmm. and be a part and connect your heart to them. And because if you are in the body of Christ, they are you and you are them and we need each other. But so they list prophetic songs and different things that happen and they started listening here. And Jacob, when you hear Jacob, understand that's Israel. So when you hear somebody say, oh, Jacob, Jacob, where are you, Jacob? That's Israel. Oh, Israel, mm-hmm. Israel, where are you, Israel? And he says that, you know, you'll be scattered across the lands, but I'll gather you back. And so when you start hearing, oh, Jacob, Jacob, where are you? Mm-hmm. It's trying to find the Jews and bring them back to their homeland because the Jews are going to be saved. And so, but then, I mean, you got to hear this, but radical Islam and the things that are taking place. And I just want you to hear it. Listen up.
Jacob, where are you? walls of the holy city. Marching in single file, Gideon's army of angels infinity. Traveling back to the land, outstretched hand like utopia. A cornucopia, promised land, milk and honey. From Ethiopia, from the four corners of the earth. A slippery slope through the scope of a sniper rifle. I hear the hope of the viper's disciple of Islamic seek, kill and destroy. My people seek, kill and destroy. Desert heat stifling, sadistic false peace. The mark of the beast rises and defeats the high priest. Like a wolf in sheep's clothing, desert darkness will increase. Splitting hairs, splitting tears, spitting harvest over beats. Bowls of the wrath flipped over, wheat from the chaff roved over. Every stone turned over, every heart checked for pulse. The altar smokes and smolts, a holy host of holy ghosts. Filled watchmen at their post, thunder clouds and lightning bolts. The altar smokes and smolts, a holy host of holy ghosts. Filled watchmen at their post, thunder clouds and lightning bolts. Watchmen stand. Watchmen stand at your post. A holy host of holy ghosts filled watchmen at the post under clouds and lightning bolts. The altar smokes and smolts.
Jacob,
as the altar smokes and smolts. Thunder clouds and lightning bolts.
Scattered among the
calling
nations.
You back to the land.
Return,
as the altar smokes and smolts. Thunder clouds and lightning bolts.
To you.
Calling you back to the land.
From among the nations.
Like a burning firebrand plucked up from the fiery furnace with a gift of spiritual discernment, supernatural sight. Be led by the burning bush, pillar of fire, cloud by night. A cloud by day, a lamp by night. It's time to fight like Gideon's army with eyesight. Prophetic, stand with the Jews. I hate anti-Semitic. Heat the scroll, read the words the prophets told. You gotta be bold, like a hammer. Hebrew hearts grown cold. A different manner, different tactic. A matter of fact, it's by the blood that religion becomes charismatic. Static electricity flows from the Ark of the Covenant. Before the holy place, before the holy throne. The dry bones answer the call and come home. No longer a heart of stone, we prophesy flesh. Life from the dead. Light from the dead upon the chest, a crest of gold like Jerusalem's lion, save Zion. No longer a heart of stone, the dry bones answer the call and come home. Before the holy place, before the holy throne, static electricity flows from the Ark of the Covenant. Abba Father, call back your people.
Return, return.
No longer a heart of stone, we prophesy flesh.
From among the nations.
Before the holy
Jacob,
no longer a heart of stone.
Jacob,
we prophesy flesh,
where
light from the dead.
Scattered among the nations.
Hebrew hearts grown cold. The Hebrew hearts grown cold. Read the words the prophets told. So we cry out.
Among the nations.
Cry out.
Awesome prophetic release that came out of this week at the International House of Prayer, Kansas City, and I just can't describe how that just resonates in our spirits, because all the things, and of course, if you haven't been in the Word, you don't understand, but he was, as one people would say, he was spitting the Word of God. He was loosing every peripheral aspect of what God is doing, and the throne room of God, and radical Islam, and Israel coming back, and old Jacob, where are you? And he says that they were literally letting, when he says we're letting the beat separate us, he's talking about that we can't even worship together because we said, I got to have music this way, I got to have music that way.
Mm.
And we're at this point right now where, you know, the anti-Semitism, that means that the hatred of the Jews. And he says, I hate this anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at that point right now.
Mm-hmm.
But what does God do at a time like that? What do we do? And the thing is that he rises up an army. He raises up an army, dressed for battle, to be able to fulfill his will.
Mm-hmm.
And his will is his name is going to be glorified. His name is going to be known in all the earth. And so it's just that prophetic release of what God is doing in the earth. It just totally nailed it. And pray for Misty Edwards and International House of Prayer, Mike Bickle, and join Gideon's army.
That's right. That's you.
Listen, you know, he was the weakest and the least likely, but he said, you know what? I heard about this old time religion stuff and I don't want to hear it no more because I'm not seeing it. I'm ready to see something now.
That's right. Mm.
Something now. And did he have issues? Did he have to deal with some different things? Of course he had to deal with some different things. Was he fearful? Yeah, he was fearful. But, you know, God confirmed what was going on. He went through a process of preparation. God went through a process of filtering. But out of that came Gideon's army that were a few people were used in a way by God to be able to fulfill his will. And I believe all over the world there's flanks, if you would, flanks of armies. And it's a spirit, if you would, of Gideon's armies that are rising up across the world. And find one, you know, be one.
Mm-hmm.
Join one. Understand that it's going to take men and women who hear from heaven and do exactly what God says do. It's not about doing your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing it's the timings of Issachar. You hear what God's saying in this season and what needs to be done. And yes, any warrior knows it will require your life. So when you enlist in the United States military, when you sign up for the Marines, it tells you very specifically, you have to sign here that you realize that you are saying, I'm willing to lay down my life for this cause.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for our Marines. And I thank God for all of our military men and women. And that they're willing to lay down their life so we can actually have life.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, it's the requirement of us as believers, period. We're supposed to lay down our life, but definitely the few that God is calling to join these flanks across America, they're willing to stand up. Because, listen, I got news for you. Mormonism's not going to save America.
No way.
And I'm not saying that God doesn't love the Mormons. God loves the Mormons. Who does God love? Check it out. You know, we list them all, including you. God loves everybody and us. But the reality is, you know, that's another Jesus. That's another Jesus. And but it is a nicer version of another Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to pick which one you're going to, you know, be able to live with. But understand that what's going to save is Jesus Christ, the church rising up and doing what Jesus said, not another version of Jesus.
That's right.
Doing what God said. And it's going to be you. If you call yourself a Christian, which means Christ follower, it's time to rise up and follow him. And if you're not following him, you need to decide if you are or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be doing a lot of religious things, but think about it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing a lot of religious things, but they weren't following him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you follow my teachings, then you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, which means you have to walk with him. God will reveal his truth to you, and that truth he reveals to you will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, go preach my kingdom to everyone, to all nations.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, and those that believe, baptize them, by the way, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then make them disciples. Teach them what I've commanded you. So all this other garbage and religious stuff that's going on, understand, he says, if you follow my teachings, which means you actually have to know them before you can follow them, then you're really, so it's like, are you the church? Are you really the church?
Right.
You know, are you? Somebody says, "Oh, you don't have to be a disciple of Jesus. You actually can stay in your sin. You can say a prayer, and do what you want to. It's not a big deal.
It's included in the Word of God. Really?
Yeah,
really.
The word really, yeah, right. Really. And you have to understand that the great deception has fallen upon the church. Now, obviously, you're not saved by your works, but you're definitely lost by your denial of him by your fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me, he said. And you're not your gift, by the way. And so you've been mesmerizing people because you have the ability to speak, talk, teach, sing, you know, whatever it is, even prophesy. But your life is a mess. It's a mess. And because you're not your gift. And ask the people around you. They'll let you know you're not your gift.
Yeah, right.
You're confusing me here because you're accurate in the use of your gift. We love the song. But your life is like an abomination to God.
These two don't match here.
You know, one of these things are not like the other, right? Sesame Street. And so I want to encourage you, if you have not yet, you may be religious. But listen, if you don't, if you have not become a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have not yet met God as your Father and Jesus as your Savior, where you just said, "I'm ready to drop everything and follow you," and Jesus said, "Unless you put your hands to the plow and don't look back, if you're not worthy of me, worthy of the kingdom." If that's you, listen, it's better this side. By the way, what's about to take place? I mean, he will accept what if we survive it, because I believe it's going to be. I really believe there's going to be mass death.
Right.
You know, and don't know how it's going to happen. Probably natural disaster looking thing. Different things are happening. It doesn't take much. I mean, you're looking at Syria right now with these chemical weapons. You have the Muslim Brotherhood who we're giving money to be able to bring in the weapons into these areas, and that's what allegedly that Ambassador Stevens was dealing with in Libya was trying to get some of those guns back, and now we're funneling them through Turkey down into Syria, which Turkey's north of Syria, and our leadership believes that the Muslim Brotherhood is a stable force to be able to give them guns, and understand the Muslim Brotherhood, this is their goal. The president of Egypt is I saw this with my own, and I don't speak, you know, Arabic, so I had to read the subtitles to it and to verify, you know, what was going on. But the imam was sitting here talking about, you know, he's sitting here holding his hands up the way a charismatic would in the presence of God. They're all kneeling down and praying at the mosque. And they're saying, you know, destroy Israel, destroy, wipe them off the face of the earth. And he's just got his eyes closed like he's having some spiritual moment. And I'm like, this is the president of Egypt. And JJ. And so here we are. You know, here we are. It's happening. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.